The Franchise Geeks present Social Geek Radio. Hello, geeks. Your host here, Jack Munson, your social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey and Location 3. A quick note before we get started. If you like what we're doing here, please head on over to the iTunes store, give us a review, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Okay, today we are getting innovative with Samara Anderson. She is the VP of Marketing for Red Pepper, the creative agency working with Slack, Verizon, maybe a few brands you've heard of before. Her role focuses on building client relationships and maintaining marketing efforts with brand managers all across the U.S., and she's helping to build the agency's innovation practice. Samara, welcome to Social Geek Radio.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
I really want to jump on this innovation practice and talk about some trends there. But first, tell us about this innovation lab that Red Pepper has. What is it and how does it help brands?
Yeah. So we, Red Pepper is a full service creative agency. We've been around for about 17 years and we've always had a real focus in our culture of growth and experimentation, failure. One of our core values, in fact, is if we're not changing, we're dying. Yeah, we actually pitch every company should have a version of that core value in their core values. A lot of how we pursue change is through the growth of ourselves and really pushing people to focus on their growth plans and to experiment and fail and to leave time and space for that in their workday and in their work life. So we've always been a company that asks a lot of questions like, what if, when a new technology comes out, for example, when Siri first came out, you know, we try to make it fun and relevant. We're like, well, what if we could get Siri to pour us a beer? What would that look like? And could we connect that API to a remote controlled car that would run into a beer and smash it with a spike and pour about, I don't know, 1/8 of the beer into a glass? And that was an experiment we took on just to be able to play and tinker with that technology so that, you know, should the day come when a client needs that or that would be an appropriate technology for them to use, we've already been learning and immersing ourselves in that. So those kinds of experiments have just always been coming out of the shop that we do on our own behalf. The most recent, you might have seen it, we kind of ruined some childhood dreams by teaching an AI robot how to find Waldo in less than 4 seconds. Sorry about that, kids.
I think you need to apologize to the adults because you realize the whole point of those books are to keep children busy.
See, this is why I have dogs. I don't know these things. But yeah, so stuff like that has always just come really naturally to us. And over the years, clients started asking us, well, can you explore an experiment on our behalf? And what does that look like? And how can we start to bring a culture of failure and experimentation and innovation into our walls so that, you know, we can test and learn and grow? So about 5-6 years ago, we started offering that up as a service. And that was right in line with the trend in general of innovation becoming a big part of what marketers have to focus on. And certainly it's become quite a buzzword too, and we can talk about what it means to us. So in our lab, we experiment on our own, playing and tinkering with technologies, and then we experiment on behalf of our clients so that we can give them more certainty about the likelihood of success of certain places where they may want to go, whether that be a new market or a new audience or a totally new way of doing business. That's the kind of stuff that we tackle in the lab through a really structured 7-week sprint process where we dial in each day and have outputs all along the way. So that's kind of a little bit of a history on how we got to the lab and a little bit of a, an overview. I don't want to bore you with the processes of every single day, but that's kind of what happens in the lab at Red Pepper.
We're all about the processes here on the geek, hence the name. Let's talk a little bit about brands innovating. And is there a question with some brands like should we do some big new innovation, or is the path we're on, is it fine? Is it okay? We're growing a little bit, not by leaps and bounds. So do we really need to innovate and disrupt ourselves, or should we just keep going? Is that a conversation you have at times?
It is. Yeah. And I think generally speaking, you know, corporations are built to protect what's working. So that is often a conversation that comes up, is do we just keep scaling and focusing on what we know how to do well, using all of these assets we've acquired over the years? And how do we effectively divert resources to maybe think about what's coming next, while still keeping things rolling around what's working now? So what that portfolio looks like and how brands can do what works now while focusing on the future is often a topic of conversation for sure.
Yeah, I think that's probably a hard conversation to have with, especially if you're talking to a founder. But even a CEO, to say, you know, things might look okay right now. However, there's this thing coming down the road in about 18 months that's totally going to disrupt your industry, and you better get out in front of it, or you're going to be on the outside looking in. I'm sure that's not a fun conversation to have, unless you get a really interesting CEO who, you know, is in that same mindset that, you know, we've got to keep doing new stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we always say, why didn't Blockbuster think of Netflix?
Yeah. That's the absolute best example of that, because they could have done it. They should have done it. My other favorite one is thinking about, why isn't Sears Amazon?
Mm-hmm.
You know, 100 years ago they were. What happened? You had 100 years to figure this out. So,
mm-hmm. Well, so many folks, whether they have good intentions and they want to explore this, or whether they're closed off to it, and regardless, they still don't really know how. I think that might be what limits people, is understanding, well, am I just throwing a couple people in a room and they're just going to come up with these crazy ideas that are never going to be adopted back into the, you know, the corporate roadmap, or am I just wasting resources there? So oftentimes they kind of focus on just saying, hey, you know, on top of your day job, on top of everything you're already doing, to their teams, you know, go be innovative.
Yeah.
Go be innovative. And they don't give them any process or guardrails or resources, or whether that's time or money, you know, whatever that may be. You can't just force people to go be innovative. You've got to put structure around it.
Go somewhere and be creative and then come back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any guidelines that you give brands as far as the resources and time on, you know, you should spend 5% of your time experimenting, or you should spend 7% of your marketing budget looking at other types of things? Do you have anything like that that you kind of help start people off with?
I know that, you know, just in studying this day to day, it is certainly becoming more and more of a line item in a marketer's budget. And if that's one way to look at it, you know, there are numbers that speak to, most CMOs right now are budgeting about 16% of their budgets toward innovation, and they expect that to go up next year. That was a recent Gartner study that I read. I think 1 in 6 marketing dollars spent on innovation, it was a stat from last year. So it's becoming a bigger and bigger part of the budget. Now, how that translates to, you know, headcount and people that might be focused on this, that's something that you have to consider as well. And as an agency who does this, we tend to push for kind of a collaborative, a more integrated approach, where you've got people on the inside focused on this day in and day out, so that they can bring the ideas back in and it gets actually adopted, because certainly innovation without anybody thinking about who's going to run with it afterwards is never going to succeed.
Yeah.
So we have dedicated resources on our teams that can help expand out the bandwidth of those internal resources, but you kind of need both. You need a little bit of outside perspective and subject matter experts and things, you know, related to maybe a specific technology or things like that, combined with internal champions, and then obviously some amount of budget allocated so that you can test and learn and purchase things or buy advertising in order to find out whether what you're doing is working.
Yeah, I suppose it would be kind of a crime to come up with some really great ideas, but then internally it never gets executed upon and therefore no results. So you don't have a very good story to tell.
Happens all the time. So sad.
So let's talk about some good results. Let's talk about some stories and maybe some client projects that you know, you personally found to be really innovative or something that really helped the brand. Anything kind of jump out at you?
Sure. We worked with Verizon last year. Verizon has a product called Hum. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's actually one of those things that connects to the sensor in your car. If you want to get real geeky, OBD2 sensor, I believe. It can read what's going on with your car. So when that check engine light comes on and you feel powerless, this device can speak to an app on your phone and tell you what is going on.
Ah.
Yeah. So you can imagine the amount of data they're acquiring and all of the assets that they're getting because of this application and this device. But what was happening was people were spending a monthly fee on this service. It was like $20 a month or something like that. And the only time they were using it, the only time it was helpful was when something went wrong with your car.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing.
It's like insurance. If you never use it, you're like, what's the return on this?
Right. So they were worried that retention was going to really start to drop. And so they came to us to think through, are there any features that this audience would enjoy that would help them be able to use this app on a more regular basis? But they had limited resources in terms of their dev team, who were already working with a pretty full roadmap. And I'm sure many people can relate to that. So how do we know where to focus and the certainty level that we might need in order to say, yes, we should go build this XYZ feature? So that was a really fun lab that we went through. We went through several sprints where we ideated and tested and prototyped and really learned from the consumer whether or not they wanted certain features in that app. And one of them in particular stood out to me because I thought it sounded so cool when they were talking to me about it. It was like, hey, we think that people are going to really want to turn their phone into an AR device that basically turns the look of your engine, if you're like hovering over it, into sort of an interactive car manual. And I thought, well, yeah, people would love that. They would eat that up. And we tested it. We brought it to life with some prototypes and some videos, put it in front of consumers. And it turned out that they had no interest whatsoever in how much work it was to bring that AR into their life, and that it didn't add enough value for them to have to stand over their engine and use it. It was clunky and it wasn't exactly how they, interacted with their car on a day-to-day basis. So we saved them millions of dollars in time and hours on the development side of things, bringing an app in that was just going to sort of be sort of adopted, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And instead we were able to point them in the directions of some other features that were more geared towards seeing how their driving was saving them money, for example, and how they could connect with other family members through this app as well and have a pulse on where your family is at all times. So
I love that idea of innovation also being part of, you know, avoiding going down the wrong road. No pun intended with the automotive piece there, but you know, you save them from what could have been a huge flop and, you know, something that, you know, not only would cost money, but could hurt the brand in some point too. Mm-hmm. So that's a side of innovation that I don't think we really think of. We think of like the one great idea that, you know, made somebody leap forward, not the 100 great ideas that helped you avoid those pitfalls.
Sure. It's not as sexy at first.
Saving money isn't nearly as sexy, is it? Yeah.
Yeah. But depending on, let's say you have someone that, you know, whether it's a CEO or CMO or founder, whatever that person might be, but let's say you're trying to sell in the idea of innovation into the corporation and you want to be that champion, how, which do you think they'd respond more to? Or maybe it's a combination of both, but I think right. what innovation can do is it can save a lot of money and heartache, preserve the brand in doing so, and also be a leapfrog device forward on things that will work. And then the underlying benefit of all of that is evolving the culture and creating an environment that's, you know, more equipped to compete in today's environment as being an exciting place to work, a place that invests back into itself and its people. All of those end up being some ripple effects of a good innovation program.
Yeah. And if you're an innovative company now, you're going to attract the right A players next year and the year after.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not innovating. The biggest challenge I see with so many brands is acquiring good talent or great talent. And if you're not seen as an innovator, good luck.
Exactly. Yeah. This is something when we speak to companies about putting a program like this in place in their organization, HR is always at the table. They're always there cheering it on because they know it's going to be a valuable tool in their kit moving forward, no doubt.
So let's talk about some other trends that you're seeing when it comes to innovation and anything else in the marketing space. We're approaching 2019. It's coming up fast. What do you see happening in the next 12 months or so that you're telling your clients they need to be watching?
Yeah, I certainly think, and we did touch on this a bit, but I would think if you don't have an innovation plan or a process or program in place with some allocated resources and some dedicated people on your team, then you're going to be behind the curve. That is certainly something that we're seeing more and more marketers focus on. I think what that allows you then to do and is something to consider next year is experimenting with as many technologies and platforms as you can and seeing where your brand can really, really find a home. Not every technology and every platform is right for every brand, as we know. And there are so many new ones coming out. You need a playground for that type of work to find where that overlap is, where your brand values connect with what technologies are turning relationships with consumers into deeper, more meaningful experiences. I get excited about, you know, everything from virtual worlds and how those are going to start really pushing out some of the physical environments that we have. I mean, the new Oculus Quest is coming out first of next year, and that's basically going to create a whole new playground for brands and consumers to connect. And it's something to be considering, at least if you're not going to dive headfirst in, at least know what your plan is going to be for how virtual worlds are going to be a part of your brand experience.
Do you see 2019 as the year that VR and AR really become mainstream and it's things used by everyday consumers?
VR for sure. I believe VR is a little bit ahead of AR in that way, even though AR is a little bit more simple because it doesn't require the headset. But I think VR is ahead of the game a little bit there. So for sure, VR. Also AI, I think we're playing with that like crazy right now. Amazon has different tools. Google has tools that are making all of that extremely accessible for folks. And that's what we played with the Where's Waldo technology. Hmm. And right now we're working on a little prototype where Elf on the Shelf can spy on you using the Amazon technology and tell you when you've been naughty. Quite funny. So stay tuned for that video coming out soon.
Oh, excellent. We'll get into some connection information, but is that something that we would find on the Red Pepper website or where can we see this kind of cool stuff?
Yeah, our YouTube page is probably the best place to see all the cool experimentation videos that we do. And that is accessible from our website for sure.
Today's episode has been brought to you by Location 3. Location 3 understands that no two business locations are alike, even when they are part of the same brand. You need a strategic approach to franchise digital marketing, and Location 3's in-house digital marketing experts and best-in-class technology combine to increase your company's brand awareness and drive customers into your stores. So whether it's business listings management, franchise paid media, SEO, or franchise development, Location 3's services and skills are exclusively tailored to the franchise experience for both the brand and franchisees. Learn more today at location3.com. Okay, today's guest has been Samara Anderson of Red Pepper. In the last couple minutes we have left, tell us where we can find you online and where can our listeners connect if they have additional questions about any of the things we talked about today with innovation.
Sure, yeah, I would love that. You can reach me through our website, and you can also check out some of the work we've done there and learn more and watch maybe some entertaining videos as well, at redpepperland.com. And under the Contact Us page, you can find my email address pretty easily as well.
Awesome. Redpepperland.com. And we'll have links to that on the Social Geek Radio website and Facebook pages as well. Samara, thank you so much for joining Social Geek Radio today. It's been a pleasure, and we hope to chat again with you very soon.
I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, and good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2018 Social Geek Radio.